Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Mystery to Me podcast. I'm Anya Kane.
And I'm Kevin Greenlee.
And we love movies and television shows with a whiff of mystery. Mystery to Me will feature us riffing on murder mysteries, film noir, cozy detective stories, police procedurals, psychological thrillers, legal dramas, tales of teen sleuths, and more.
Once we're done yucking it up about whatever we've just seen, we'll serve up our 5-star final takes on whether it's worth your time.
If you're offended by silliness, profanity, political asides, canine-related interruptions, and losers laughing at their own bad jokes, beware. Also note that some of the stories we'll be talking about are pretty dark, and in some cases, exceptionally badly written. So content warning for murder, violence, suicide, torture, rape, racism, misogyny, homophobia, transphobia, and bigotry.
If there's a movie or show you'd like for us to talk about, email us at mysterytomepodcast@gmail.com. Our show's take on genre is pretty loosey-goosey. So as long as your suggestion has some dash of mystery, we're interested in hearing about it.
Spoiler alert! We're going to be discussing the entirety of this show or movie, spoilers and all. So if you want to be surprised, press pause, go watch the thing, then join us for the show. Now that you've heard our spiel, go ahead and polish off those magnifying glasses and slip into your favorite trench coat. Let's get mysterious. So, Kevin, what did we just watch in theaters?
Only in a theater. We watched Top Gun Maverick. Now, refresh my memory. If I recall correctly, how did you react when I said, hey, Anya, you think we should go see the Top Gun movie? I remember you looked very disappointed in me.
Yeah, I think I was a little bit disappointed in you and myself for going along with it and society for letting this happen. I just thought it didn't sound great. Boy, was I wrong. Holy shit, I love this movie.
Anytime I looked over at you during this picture, you were just grinning.
I've never seen Top Gun 1.
Either have I.
We had no idea what we were getting into.
Well, we've not seen the movie, but I think just
we know
living
the cultural touchstones are, you know. You got sexy volleyball on the beach, cocky pilot who breaks all the rules but always comes out ahead. His friend dies. So we knew all the, you know, the storytelling beats. But I mean, God, this was such an experience.
You really seem overwhelmed. Can you elaborate?
Okay. Well, we saw it in theaters, you know, and
people were eating this shit up. People were going nuts. I felt at one point, and we're going to be obviously discussing all sorts of spoilers, so just heads up.
You're going to be revealing a very crucial spoiler in just a minute, because I have an idea about what you're going to reveal.
Well, I don't know if you do. We were at a point in the movie where Tom Cruise is getting back together with his old girlfriend, played by Jennifer Connelly, and he sneaks out of her bedroom and drops down to the ground, and then he looks up and out. Looking out the window is your teenage daughter looking a bit disapproving, and the audience is hooting and hollering. They're loving it. They're, yay! And then she says, just don't break her heart again, referring to their past breakup. And the audience literally goes, aww. I've never felt like I was in a sitcom audience before. It, like, in terms of people being so reactive, and it was a great feeling. The energy off the crowd was just insane.
They were laughing. They were clapping.
Yeah, it was just, it was like, they loved it. They were eating it up. The heartland. The normies. And I was right along with it. I was flying. I was their wingman. I was right there, too. I was loving it. It was so wild. So, yeah.
So you don't see yourself as a normie?
Well, I think I am a normie. I act like I'm not. But then, like, I do go to something like this. And, like, yeah. That's it. Try to think of myself as a sophisticated cynic. Then I watch Top Gun Maverick, and I'm like, yeah! I think you have the same style. I think you like to think of yourself, yes, I'm a learned man.
No, I'm a man of the people.
A man of science. A man of books. No, you are a man of the people.
I'm just an average working Joe.
Exactly.
That would be my call sign, Working Joe.
Working Joe? I think my call sign's got to be AC, because that's my maiden name and my initials for a long time.
So, yeah, it's pretty original.
It's good, because I'm cool in a crisis.
Yeah, that's really good, Anya.
Oh, yeah.
You told me in the car on the way home, you said, I've got the perfect call sign. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
You don't want to try that hard. Working Joe tries very hard and raises a lot of questions, frankly. And it's a stupid one.
AC.
It's casual. It's cool. It's crisp. Just like a window AC unit. Working as it should.
But see, doesn't everybody listening to this, as soon as they hear AC... don't they think of the beloved sitcom character A.C. Slater from Saved by the Bell? Is that who you're modeling yourself after?
I don't watch that show.
That guy was a male chauvinist. He was awful to
That's
Jesse.
That's me.
He was awful to Jesse.
I'm obviously the biggest chauvinist here. Working Joe. You're not a working Joe. You're like a fancy little guy.
I'm down in the coal mines.
No, you're not. You're not down in the coal mines. Your hands are soft.
My hands are weathered with age.
Not true at all.
If you looked at my hands, you would think I was much older than I really am.
Anyways, we would never be... I feel foolish because I feel like I should have gotten into this from the start, or at least early on, because and here's why.
Gotten into what?
Top Gun, the whole thing. Here's something I think you know about me, but I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't. When I was in fourth grade for like a month, my whole personality became really loving the movie with Gregory Peck, 12 O'Clock High. It's a World War II movie about Top Gun, or like, not, this is before Top Gun, but like flight, you know, these fighter pilots cracking under extreme stress. Loved that movie. I don't know why that really resonated with me. I loved it. I talked about it incessantly for like a month, and it was my whole thing. And so I love like dogfight stuff and all that like crazy shit and flying around.
So why were you into this?
I don't know. I missed out. I love 80s stuff. I love the soundtrack to Top Gun. It was one of those things like I just never watched it. So
does that mean you now want to go back and watch the original?
I had such fun at the sequel that I'm worried I won't like the original, but I don't know. It's probably the same thing.
Well, you need to experience the whole oeuvre.
What about you? Why didn't you watch it? You were there.
What do you mean I was there?
You were there in the 80s.
I wasn't there when they were filming it. I am a little bit older than you, just a couple of years, and so I was alive when this movie came out.
So why? How did you resist the siren song?
It just smelled like simple-minded Reagan-era jingoism and a blowjob to the military.
And that's what it is, and that's why we love it, folks. Are you disappointed in yourself on some level that you liked it so much?
It was a fun picture. John Hamm.
Yeah, John Hamm's in it. He's the stern general who's not so proven, but you know he knows Maverick gets results.
You know he'll come around in the end.
Yeah, he's not a bad guy. He's just more by the book. Wait, so do you think this was Reagan era jingoistic bullshit, or just do you think they did something different with it that you didn't expect?
This seemed to be something similar to some of the latter day James Bond movies, where it seemed a salute to the late middle aged man. When the basic plot of the movie is Tom Cruise, this older man, has to come around and show the younger guys how it's really done. And to give a little bit of a spoiler away, not much of one, there's a climactic battle scene at the end where they're in an older plane.
Yes.
And it's able to...
Very on the nose.
It's able to defeat... So it seems less a salute to military jingoism and more a salute to Tom Cruise and men of his age.
It's an absolute salute to the dads and Tom Cruise specifically. And we can talk about spoilers. We always talk about spoilers on this show, but I mean, I'm just, we're going to give away the whole plot here. So if you haven't seen it,
I think if you haven't, it involves.
No, I'm going to say this. What's going to happen in the movie, and here's what happens. I'm going to just say it, because this was, I was almost, no one else at this point was laughing, but I was like, I felt like I was going to fall on the floor. Tom Cruise has to assemble, playing Maverick. Maverick has to assemble a crew of top pilots, these young whippersnappers, and he's going to teach them a few things. But then they realize quickly, he's the only actual person who can lead the team. So it was like, there's no point in bringing him in to be the teacher. He's just gonna take over. And isn't that like a dad's fantasy? Like, they're gonna need me not just to come back, but to fucking run the show. And I was cracking up. I'm like, they're not gonna do that. That's way too on the nose. And then they did, and it was great.
You loved every second of
it. I was dying. Like, if your dad has ever gotten way too into, like, setting up, like, a Lego set or something and, like, just takes it over from his kids, then you know how this movie's gonna go down.
That sounds like a very specific reference.
I don't know. It's great. And it's just, it knows that we don't want the drama. Like, we don't want to, here's the thing, a lesser movie that didn't know what it was would like lean into like Tom Cruise being a burnout. Cause in this, it's like, everyone's kind of like, you never advance. You're just a captain. And he's just basically like, I don't give a shit. I just like to fly the planes. And like, you know what? Good. We don't need to see Maverick sad in the beginning. Like, that's not what we're here to have some fun, fly some fast planes, play some water sports on the beach and run around. And that's what we're here for, and that's to have a great time. Because it's fucking summer, 2022.
You're laying it all out on the line.
I'm just telling everyone what it's about. And we were talking about this in the car. There are good movies. There are great movies. There are fun movies. And you could be fun and great or fun and good. In terms of your storytelling. But you can also just be fun and kind of dumb, but in a way that's like very well crafted. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's what we were seeing here. This is silly. This is very basic.
It's not a great film.
Everyone's a walking cliche. Everyone's saying things like, I should fire you, but instead I'll promote you to the head of the flight school. And like, everyone's saying shit like that, or like, Maverick's crazy, but he gets results. they're not literally saying that, but that's basically the same thing they're saying again and again. And so
they're saying this, and the people in the theater
are hooting and hollering. They're eating it up. They're fucking. They're just having a grand time. At one point, I think somebody like almost heckled Tom Cruise, because they were saying it's not the plane, it's the pilot. And then some guy was like, "No, it's not." And I was like, "Whoa!" People are in dialogue. People were losing control in this movie, in this theater that we were in, and it was insane, and I loved it. But I would say it's a fun movie. It's a very well-crafted, fun movie. And it's not great. It's not even really good. But it's perfect in just kind of leaning into the fun. And gotta respect that. Top Gun.
You're so happy.
Fucking loved it. Did you like it as much as you thought you would?
I noticed Christopher McQuarrie's name was on the credits as one of the writers, and he's a very good craftsman. He knows how to put an entertaining film together. And all the reviews I've seen have been overwhelmingly positive.
Why do you think, because like when you think about it, like entertaining the audience should be like the basic thing, like the basement level of what your movie should do. But it seems somewhat elusive sometimes. So what do you think were the ingredients of entertainment alone that really worked here? And that maybe Christopher McQuarrie brings to his Mission Impossible series?
He's directed, I think, the last two, and he's directing the next two. And you enjoyed both of those films, the last two.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about Mission Impossible for a second, there was actually a trailer for the next installment. Of course, I had seen the trailer on YouTube, but you hadn't seen it yet, right?
No.
What'd you think of it?
I'm excited. I liked the last two. I kind of resent you for like getting me into Tom Cruise films. That feels like somewhat, I feel like gross liking them, but I do.
You're a huge Tom Cruise fan.
I'm not a Tom Cruise fan. I don't like the whole cult thing, but I dig the Mission Impossible movies, and I dug this movie.
You kind of liked Jack Reacher too.
That was like, that like was trying to do this, but it just couldn't with what they had. That didn't work. But I understood what they were trying to do and had some good elements. How do you entertain an audience according to this film? I have some theories.
Just keep it simple.
Keep it exactly. Exactly. Ah! That's it.
That was your big theory?
You don't need all the baggage. You don't need all the weightiness. You know, you don't put a bunch of suitcases in your fighter jet. You just, boom, off the aircraft carrier.
You don't even need to say who the enemy is. They never say what country they're doing this mission in. And when they're on the ground in this country and they see enemies around, the enemies are always carefully shot or garbed so you can't see them. So you have no idea what nationality
they are. And they imply that it's not anyone nation, but like some sort of rogue state. So we're not going to war with anyone. It's okay. Don't worry.
Just relax.
Just relax.
We're just having fun.
And we're not doing a war. It's just a one surgical strike. So don't worry. Yeah, it very much tries to very much keep politics out of everything. It's only politics are, you know, hey, you know what the Navy is? It fucking rocks. You know, like that. It's just pro-military to a crazy extent, but it doesn't want you to think about like what we're getting involved in here. We just got to get rid of the uranium. That's it. Don't worry about it. Don't ask any questions.
The uranium, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was, and all the characters are very broad, so you have, you know, Tom Cruise can't do anything wrong as Maverick, and he's just this crazy guy who always gets results. And then Miles Teller is Tom Cruise's best friend's son. His best friend was named Goose. He died in Top Gun 1.
Spoilers.
And again, the spoilers are baked in. And then this kid is named Rooster, and he resents Maverick because he tried to get him kicked out of the Navy or something because he didn't want him to die, or promised his mom some blah, blah, blah.
So Maverick gets him kicked out of the Navy. How did he do that? Can just any pilot in the Navy Heather,
all the Navy people who talk to Maverick are like, we don't take you seriously. You're just a joke. You're a captain, even though you're a billion years old. And like somehow he was able to like pull strings to get him kicked out of like the Naval Flight Academy. But and then there's a couple of other pilots. There's like the cocky guy who's kind of like, maybe seems like a bad guy, but then he turns out to be cool. There's a lady pilot. There's a nerdy pilot. There's a bunch of different pilots, and they all just kind of are, you know, there, and you don't get to know all of them, but there's, you know, they're a team, and they're gonna all come in with their guns, and they're gonna be the top guns.
But only if Tom Cruise can mold them into a team. Jeez. And teach them how to do a mission that some say is impossible.
Oh my God! Yeah, they gotta do because it's top secret, and they have to basically fly into this canyon really fast, blow something up, and get the fuck out of there. And like the G forces are gonna be on them, and you're just on your seat, just being like woo, and people are almost having accidents. Geese are flying into their engines during practice, and people are passing out, and it is just bonkers. And you're having fun, and you know things are exploding, and it's just. People are ejecting out of their seats. It's amazing.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS. Or play online via Facebook games.
That's basically the movie. I mean, the plot is pretty simple. We got to do this mission. Now let's do the mission. Actually, Tom Cruise is going to do the mission because all you kids suck. And during the mission, Tom Cruise sacrifices himself to save Goose's son, Rooster. And that actually had you thinking something.
For a brief moment, I thought, wow, they had the guts to kill off Tom Cruise. What a bold storytelling choice. But what an interesting way, it is an echo of the previous film. In the previous film, apparently, Goose dies, but now Tom Cruise dies to save the son. Yeah. What a bold choice. But yeah, he didn't.
Nah, he was fine. He ejected in time.
You, though, were on the edge of your seat, worried sick. The Goose's son, Rooster, would die.
The little gosling himself. Yes, I thought at one point then Rooster comes back in to save Tom Cruise, and then his plane blows up. But then he ejects, and so he's fine. They're both fine. And then they have a crazy time where they steal an old plane from the unnamed bad guys and fly it off. And they're trying to get back to the battleship where everyone's waiting, and they're, you know, everyone's like, is that Maverick in the sky? What's going on? And then they're flying, and there's hostiles, and they're fighting the hostiles, and they're doing all this shit, and it's an old plane, but still runs. And then,
at the last minute, they're about to die.
Yeah.
But then the cocky young Han Solo character appears out of nowhere and saves them.
And I said that was, I feel like that was always what the kind of vibe I brought to like group projects in school. Like I would just kind of laze around a lot of times. And then at the end, they'd be like, oh, we need this. And I'd be like, no worries. Like, boom. You're welcome, everybody. Mr. Johnny come lately. So I loved the whole thing. It was just so fun, so ridiculous. Like, they're just having so, like, it's like a big 4th of July barbecue weekend movie. Everyone's in these kind of classic clothing and looks, and they're going around on sailing boats when they're not, you know, or hanging out in nice beachside homes when they're not doing military-related things.
There is a scene where Tom Cruise is on a boat with Jennifer Connelly, and he's, like, struggling to navigate it. And you were just laughing.
I was cracking up. That was
you
hilarious.
Were enjoying that.
I just found that very amusing. It's the whole thing was just they just knew exactly what to do to give people a good time. Nothing more. But very impressive. Very impressive. Because I think both of us are pretty cynical, and I think this was the perfect. It's like flying a plane. In like a very intense mission. Like if you put too much on, you know, you're going to be out of control and it's going to get sloppy. But if you're too subtle almost, it's not going to have the effect. But they had just the perfect amount of cheesy fun. And that made the whole movie.
So what happened to the sardonic Ani of the other day who said, "Oh, Top Gun. Well, I guess I'll go with you if you insist."
I think it's actually hard to do a movie like this. I think it takes some actual thought into, like, what do people want to see? Versus kind of, like, either overstuffing or understuffing a plot. Or having, like, if you just have it be like, okay, here are the set pieces. That's going to get you part of the way, but it's not going to tell you, like, all the other kind of silly stuff on the side. And I think they just really got that fun action movie vibe. And we're basically like, let's have fun in airplanes. And with a team of airplane people who are just, they're a team and they're for America. And that's basically what we wanted.
And we're told time and time again that each one is the absolute best there is.
Time after time. Oh, wait, no. Take My Breath Away. That's the song. Never mind.
What the fuck? What just happened? Did you just have a stroke?
Maybe.
Time after time wasn't, other than just being a common expression that I used appropriately, isn't it the name of the Christopher Reeve Jane Seymour film?
No, I was confusing my 80s songs. I think Take My Breath Away is from Top Gun 1. I just was thinking two T songs and then I switched the wrong one in. I'm sorry, babe.
You just confused everyone.
But yeah, anything we missed about this one?
What'd you think about Jennifer Connelly?
I mean, she kind of, like, she and Tom Cruise, I guess, were together for a while, and then they broke up, and then they got together again, and they broke up, and she just basically exists to be like, oh, Tom Cruise, you're a silly guy, you're always dumping me to go fly in the Navy, and he's all like, yeah, but I'm a lovable rogue, and she's like, yeah, and then they get back together.
And she's like, oh, if anything happens to any of those pilots, you'd never forgive yourself. Yeah, that was kind of like a sad, almost tragic element to this Tom Cruise character, because I haven't seen Top Gun 1, but I imagine the movie ends triumphantly and we think he's going to have a great life. And now, like 30 years later, he's working in a hangar and he has a bunch of pictures hung up. All in all, the pictures seem to be like stills from the first movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, imagine if you met in real life, like a 58 or 59 year old man, and his workspace was filled with pictures of his college days.
That's a good point. We are told he doesn't have any children of his own. He doesn't have a seemingly long-lasting relationship with anybody. He's just...
He hasn't had a successful career in the military.
And yeah, you're right. And I think it's a strength of the movie that all of that is true and in universe, but you don't feel the weight of it. It kind of just kind of, I said, it's almost like skipping a stone on water. It just kind of goes, it's weightless for a second, and then it's done. Because
it's kind of a sad character.
It's a depressing as hell character. They need him to be a loser to have the movie happen, but you know, because it's Tom Cruise and the way he has his movies done, he has to be a winner. So it kind of a mixed message there.
Yeah, it's like in Last Jedi when we revisit Luke Skywalker 30 years later. He tried to rebuild the Jedi and he failed completely, and so now he's just hanging out by himself.
Sulking on an island.
So all of our 80s heroes went on to have sad, depressing lives.
I think that's telling. But isn't that mostly because we just, you know, are not willing to produce any, like, original new stories to, like, replace them as opposed to, and we let them die with grace, you know? Like, I mean, that seems more the problem. Because if you bring back Maverick or Luke Skywalker, if they're just like, yeah, I figured everything out, I've been great for 30 years, then, like, what's the story then? Like, what story can you tell with somebody who just has it all and kind of figured it out back when they were 20? So you got to kind of bring them down, but it ends up being kind of sad because it's like, yeah, nothing works out for anybody. Everyone just dies sad.
Yeah, even Tom Cruise can't make a successful career in the military.
No.
What's there for the rest of us? Even poor Tom Cruise can't find a lady.
So, yeah, it's kind of like, do you think that's just because of storytelling conventions? You have to have somebody kind of struggling? Or
yeah.
Yeah. That'd be funny if Last Jedi Luke came in. Yeah, I'm happy, I'm satisfied. Like, I've been doing a great job.
I rebuild the Jedi.
I'll help, no worries. Yeah. And in this, it's like, they could have had the Tom Cruise character, if they didn't want to focus on him, but obviously they're going to focus on him because it's Tom Cruise. If they didn't want to focus on him, he could have been in the, like, Iceman role, who's, like, an admiral at this point. They could have had him like that. Like, come in and, like, after the first team fails and gives them a speech, like, you know, I had this issue once, and we figured it out. And not be a focus. But the fact that he's a focus, he has to be struggling.
See, and that's interesting, too, because it's very important that he trains these guys. He has no experience as a teacher. He mentions that repeatedly. His idea is, well, I want them to feel like a team. I know. I'll have them play football on the beach. So he doesn't really seem to be all that good of a teacher.
Are you saying your law professors didn't have your class do that? Bring out all the 2Ls? The shores of Lake Michigan?
Are you ready for your 5-star final?
I would say that Top Gun Maverick soars high.
Thanks for listening this week. I'd like to give a special thanks to Kevin T. Greenlee, who's no relation to me. He's the guy that composed the great music for this podcast, and you can find him on the web at kevintg.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @mysterytome. That's @mystery_2_me_. And at Mystery to Me Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can always send us recommendations and feedback of any kind at mysterytomepodcast